This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Today we started a holiday week series featuring a few of our favorite interviews of the year. Comic and actor Aziz Ansari was on our show in April after he released a new stand-up special on his website. He co-stars in the NBC series Parks and Recreation as Tom Haverford, who works in the Parks and Rec office in Pawnee, Indiana. Here's a scene from season 3 with his then-boss Leslie Knope, played by Amy Poehler.
Do you want to go to lunch?
No, I don't really feel like going to JJ's.
We can go anywhere. Your choice. I'm buying.
Can I get apps and zerts?
Zerts are what I call desserts. Tray trays or entrees. I call sandwiches Sammy's, Sandoozles, or Adam Sandler's. Air conditioners are cool blasters with a Z. I don't know where that came from. I call cakes big old cookies. I call noodles long ass rice. Fried chicken is fry fry chicky chick. Chicken parm is chicky chicky parm parm. Chicken cacciatore, chicky catch. I call eggs pre-birds or future birds. Root beer is super water. Tortillas are bean blankies. And I call forks food rakes.
Yeah, you can get as many desserts as you want.
Well, let's get in my Go-Go-Mobile car.
Like the character he plays in Parks and Rec, Ansari's parents emigrated from India. He's from South Carolina. Although his character sees himself as a ladies' man and is always bragging, Ansari's stand-up act is more self-deprecating. So your humor on stage is self-deprecating, and I'm thinking like you're good friends with, like, you know, or good friends, I don't know, but you're friends with Jay-Z, you love hip-hop, and, you know, the hip-hop is so much about confidence and swagger and feeling like you can go up to that beautiful woman and she's just going to just, she's going to be really happy that you went up to her, because you're the best when it comes to making love or standing up to the cops or looking good or, you know, whatever needs to be done. And I'm wondering, like, how your self-deprecating humor goes over with your hip-hop friends, because the sensibility in some ways seems pretty different.
Well, being a rapper is, like, about being cool and things like that. And being a comedian, you're not really supposed to be the coolest guy. So I think, you know, they understand it's a different type of thing, you know? And, you know, those guys are super funny. They have a really great sense of humor, and when I do hang out with them, like, we'll laugh hard at things we all say, and they have a great sense of humor, so they understand it's a different thing. I don't think they're like, oh, man, Aziz isn't cool. You know what I mean? It's just a different thing to be a comedian. There's not a self-deprecating rapper. That wouldn't work. If you were a rapper that was like, I saw this girl, but I was too scared. like, that doesn't work for a rapper. You can't be like, and then I took her back to my place, and she said she had a boyfriend. Like, that rapper wouldn't go very far. Because in a rap song, you want to live vicariously through them. You want to be on the jet or whatever. You want to be like, you know. And then I drove my mom's car because I can't afford my own. Terry, I think we got to do a self-deprecating rapper album. Do you make beats on the side?
Absolutely. That is what I do in the evenings.
Or maybe you can sing the hooks.
I do that too. It's really funny you should bring it up. Absolutely.
I can't afford a car.
So you're of Indian, the country of India ancestry. And
yes.
When you were growing up, there were probably not a lot of comics of South Asian ancestry to look to as role models. Did that matter to you?
I never saw an Indian person on TV unless it was like Gandhi, or there was like a James Bond movie where he goes to India, or like there's some show where they happen to go to India, or they're showing a Quickie Mart guy. There was no one Indian on TV, like no one. When I did this sketch show on MTV called Human Giant around 2007, I joked around with the people at MTV. I was like, wow, it's pretty cool. I think I might be the first Indian person you've ever had on MTV. And I was half joking. But I think it may be true. Like, I can't think of ever seeing an Indian person on MTV. And I think it's really cool now. You can't avoid Indian people on TV. There's like one Indian person minimum on every like sitcom or drama. There's like some Indian guy in the office. It's really funny to me that that's the case. And even when I was coming up, even seeing like Mindy Kaling on The Office, it was great because you could point to her and be like, see, like, she's a really funny character on that show, and there's no jokes about her having an Indian accent or anything. It's just about her character and her personality. Even having that was, like, a great thing to point to. And I think now with me and Danny Pudi on Community and, you know, a myriad of other people, I think it must be a little different to be a kid growing up that's Indian and seeing all these Indian people in the culture.
Somebody who knows your name now is President Obama, and he mentioned you at a fundraising event in New York in early March. He mentioned that you were there. He mentioned that you mm-hmm. were backstage and that this was a particularly big deal because his daughter Malia is a huge fan of Parks and Recreation. So how did you end up being at that event with him, and how did he end up mentioning you?
As with a lot of things with me, it all goes back to food. I eat at that restaurant, ABC Kitchen, a lot. It's a restaurant in New York, and that's where this event was. And they came up to me, and they're like, hey, we're doing this event with President Obama. He's going to speak here, and we're wondering if you would want to host it or something. And I was like, yeah, sure, because you guys are going to be catering, and your food is delicious. And the Obama people contacted me, and they're like, would you want to do this? We think it's a great idea. You could speak. And I did it, and it was really fun. And I wrote this little speech for the event and made the speech. And then eventually the president spoke, and he mentioned me in the speech, and it just blew me away. Like, I still haven't quite comprehended how crazy it is that the president mentioned me in a speech. I still don't believe it. It's so crazy to me. And he came back backstage afterwards, and he talked to me for a while, and he mentioned that his daughter really loved Parks and Recreation, and he was just super nice and very cool.
There's a good deed that you did that I think few people know about. There was an article on Rolling Stone about violence against gay teenagers, and after you read it, you got in touch with the person who wrote the article and offered to do a fundraiser to raise money for an organization that works with gay teens, and you hosted a comedy benefit in L.A. on behalf of a Minnesota LGBT group. Why did you decide to do that?
I heard a YouTube clip from Howard Stern where he was talking about this article, and if you haven't read the article, you should really read it. It's about bullying, and particularly about this school in Minnesota where it was just really such a sad article. And I just read it, and I was like, man, it really affected me, and it really made me sad. Like, just thinking about these kids who were, getting put down by all these other kids in their school, and they seem like such brilliant kids, and it just really bummed me out that the bully kids were winning, that they were letting them ruin what was special about them, and it just didn't seem fair. It just seemed like these kids were...
Were you bullied as a kid?
I wasn't, you know? I think you would think I would be. It seemed like it'd be a really easy bully target, but... You know, obviously I was made fun of here and there, but I've said this, I think I even said it to you last time I talked to you, like, you know, it was probably on par with what a fat kid dealt with. It was not, like, serious racism where, like, kids were throwing rocks at me and harsh stuff like that, you read these stories and stuff and you read about, like, real torment, you know, like, real kids getting really tormented. I did not have that at all. But I guess I can relate to the idea of being different from everyone else, and I can relate to... people telling you can't do something, or people making fun of you because you're different, or I've seen other kids make fun of other kids for having different interests or whatever. And when I read that story, it really ticked me off that the school allowed that to happen. Basically, the school district wasn't taking a stand. It really got bad, and several kids ended up taking their own lives. It was that bad. And one kid's mom started an organization called Justin's Gift. And the writer of the Rolling Stone article, I just emailed her and I was like, hey, I read this article and it's really affected me. I just feel like I want to do something. I'll gladly do a benefit. Like, it's really easy for me to, like, put on a show and raise some money. Like, who could I raise money for? What would be the best organization? And she referred me to the Justin's Gift. And so I was doing a show that weekend and it sold out and we gave that money. And then I put together another show with some other comedians that I'm friends with. And we charged more for that, and it sold out, and we raised like $15,000, like just doing those two shows, and we gave it to them, and you know, I was glad we were able to do those shows and do that, and I hope it helps those kids even a little bit, because, you know, it just really bummed me out hearing about happened to those kids.
I think it's great that you did that. So you do a lot of tweeting, you have a lot of followers, and after the Trayvon Martin story, When Geraldo made his comment about how, you know, he shouldn't have been wearing a hoodie.
Yes.
You replied with a barbed tweet. And I'll ask you to tell us the radio-friendly version of what you said.
I think what I said was, it's really appropriate to say this any day, but today in particular, F you, Geraldo. And I tweeted that, and what I failed to realize is that now, whenever there's a big news story, news outlets will take things that people tweet and quote them as if that's like their statement on something. Obviously, if I was talking to like the Washington Post, that would not be my analysis of the event. No, I would have said something a little bit more nuanced. However, there was an article somewhere. I have it on my phone. I'll read it to you what they wrote. They wrote, the headline said something like, sorry, give me a second. I'll pull it up. It said, Geraldo Rivera says Trayvon Martin's hoodie made him a target, receives major backlash. The Fox News commentator says Martin's killer should be prosecuted, but the victim's attire put him at fault too. Aziz Ansari responds, F you, Geraldo. I love that that was in the sub headline for that article. Which, in that case, I don't like people quoting me, you know, from my Twitter in like a serious news article. But in that case, it was so funny to me that I approve.
Aziz Ansari, it's been great to talk with you again. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Aziz Ansari recorded last April after he released his stand-up comedy special Dangerously Delicious on his website. He co-stars on Parks and Recreation.